Somebody said, don't worry about what other people think about you because they don't think about you often. Isn't that great?
I like that.
I think that's awesome. You probably think about them more not liking you than they ever think about the fact that they don't like
you. You. Yep.
They're already moving on. So just put it underneath the carpet and move right along.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. We pick up this week with the second and final part of our two-part podcast with Sean Farquhar. In the last podcast, we focused on Sean's work in the cinema. We leave that behind and move on to a lot of other stuff, including his performing and winning magic contests, his early days and how he got work on the cruise ship, plus new stories about his current cruise work. Also, did you know that Sean suffers from triskaidekaphobia? That's the fear of the number 13. He talks about that a little bit in this week's episode, too. As the international president of the IBM, he's had a great first half of the year traveling, visiting, performing, and lecturing around the world. Sean is also a magic dealer with his own line of original props, but he also owns Palmer Magic that has its own line of great magic material. Well, I don't want to take any more time away from your enjoyment of Sean's stories, so let me step out of the way as we pick up our conversation from last week here on The Magic Word.
Was that your first competition, by the way, then? Or?
My first competition, no, was I competed at a PCM convention in 1984. That was interesting because it was in California in, I'll think of the name. Once I finished competing, I couldn't afford a room, so I was sleeping in my van. John Chirac, guys like that, were all sleeping in our vans and hanging out. And this night was the night that Joel Bauer released his new book, Hustle. And he released it at the PCM in the evening thing. And when I went back to my van, it had been broken into, and two guys were running away with my ATA cases. So I beat the one guy to the ground, leaving my ATA case after I beat him, and then chased the other guy, knocked him to the ground because they were trying to run with the cases sideways against their legs. So I took him to the ground, beat him enough that he left. I was more young and athletic at the time, dragged the two cases back to the van.
Well, you were used to that, of course. You know,
I was working in bars and in tough places. I more than once went outside to face some person I insulted and had a fight.
A guy.
Several times, and sometimes three and four people.
So you got your ATA cases.
So I got my ATA cases, threw them in the van, and with real indignation, I went in to tell the hotel staff that they should have better security, blah, 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 blah. And the lady said, "We will make sure. We apologize. What room are you in?"
That one out there in the parking lot.
Now, you have to know that the parking lots in California have those spikes. So I always carried a sheet of plywood, and I put it over the spikes and then drive over and then put the sheet of plywood back in, so I was in the secured lot. So I didn't have a room. And as I'm standing there going, Mickey Hades, who was from Vancouver at the time, was like, "He's in my room," and then gave his room number. And they were like, "Okay." And then he looks at me and says, "You know, you're not staying in the room." I'm like, so no
this
problem.
Is not an invitation to come and stay.
Exactly.
Out.
So I go out to tell everybody the story. We have a great time. Now it's like 4 in the morning, and I'm going to go to bed. And I go to head for the bed, and as I go to the van, out came this gorilla in a person suit with a security badge on going, "What are you doing?" I said, "Oh, it's okay, it's my van. Oh, don't worry, I'll be here all night to make sure nobody touches it," because the sunroof was broken into two and everything.
Yeah.
"That's great." He says, "So don't worry, you can go back to your room." Thank you.
It's like, so you went back to the lobby.
I had no plan. I went and slept on a lawn chair by the pool. And boy, it gets cold in California at nighttime. And what's beautiful in the daytime becomes very dew on the cape at nighttime. I nearly froze to death.
And you were competing during that convention,
too. Yes, and I won. First contest I ever won, and the competitors included.
You were how old? In teens?
I was 21. I competed against Jonathan Yarborough. He changed his name.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't like Yarborough.
Pendragon.
Pendragon. There was Victor and Diamond, Kevin James, Ed Alonso, what's his name with the parrot? And Luigi.
Dana Daniels. So basically no-name people.
No-name people and me. Okay, the entire Castle Junior program and the Long Beach Mystics all showed up to compete.
Yeah.
And I won.
So that was your first one, and so you were inspired to do more?
I went home to Northwest Biological and Chemical Laboratories, where I worked, and I told the boss to take
a hike.
Yeah, and I was really rude about it. Dick Stratton was his name, and I was really rude because I needed to burn the bridge. because I was afraid, you know, if there was a way I could come back.
It'd be too easy.
Yep. Mm. And years later, wow. I sent Dick Stratton and his wife, Dorothy, an invitation to come see me at a very professional venue, and he came. And publicly, I apologized to him and then came down and said, you know, Sean, I never took it seriously. I knew what you were doing, and you could have come back. And I said, I really appreciate that you never told me that, because at those points when I was eating Top Ramen noodles and ketchup and meat that came off of my friend David Wilson's meat truck, and that was the only protein I'd have in a month, I would have come back. But because I didn't think I could, I stuck it out. And, yeah, he passed away, and his son actually invited me to the funeral to say, my father spoke so highly of you right to the day he died. And I was thinking, I treated that man very badly. Wow. But he treated me very good.
That's good. And you worked lots of cruise ships. Have you stayed with the same line all the time or different lines?
I started with one line. I went with Cunard Cruise Lines.
Him through an agent? Or did you contact the director?
No, a magician from Florida. Used to have the act with Marilyn and the Magician, but before he had Marilyn and the Magician, Danny Scott. He had the ads with the crystal head chopper. Oh, that's what it is. I'm pretty sure he used to do an act. He was on the Merv Griffin show with a little umbrella. I'm tired. I haven't slept in 7 days. So, but I'll think of it in a second while we're talking. Anyways, he floated a girl on the cruise ship, on the Cunard Princess cruise ship, and it was a broom suspension, and it broke, and the girl hit the ground and broke her hip. So I got a phone call. I was working in a shopping center in Williams Lake, British Columbia, in front of the grocery store with Lori doing our act, Farquhar and Felicity. And John Whitefoot of Whitefoot Entertainment phoned and said, would you like to go on a cruise? I said, yes, sir, he says. Now, this is back in the day. He left a message on my answering machine. And then I dialed the payphone and held the little box up that went, ear! And then you got to listen to your message and said, this is John Whitefoot. If you'd like to go on a cruise, give me a call. So I got a handful of quarters, and I phoned John Whitefoot. I said, when is the cruise, sir? And he says, tomorrow morning. You have to be there at 7 a.m. 7 a.m. Now, I'm 5.5 hours drive away from it, and I have to work to the end of the day. We worked to the end of the day, got in the van, and we drove straight to the dock. And the ship was just pulling in at 7 a.m. No reason to be there at 7 a.m. I had time. I could have gone to the apartment, could have done stuff. But we got on the ship. And first thing the cruise director said to me was, you're the new magician? I said, yeah. He said, you do that stick on the string trick? Said, not anymore, sir.
Yeah.
I had a brand new aluminum one that was gorgeous from Morrissey. I was so excited. It was like, not in the show. I did a cruise up, and all I had to do was a 15-minute opener for one of the big headliners. You know, they had like Dudley Moore and Chita Rivera. And at the time, it wasn't a name I knew, Francois Zoni and something. And I did my spot, and it was good. And they didn't have a replacement for the cruise down. The cruise stopped in a place called Whittier, Alaska, if they're ever going to give the world an enema. Whittier, Alaska.
That's the place.
Yeah. We spent the night there. They busted the new people, and I was invited to stay on for the cruise back down instead of flying out of Anchorage. I was very excited. And then they told me the president of the line was coming on board. And that was like, that's pretty cool. Yeah, he might get to see you. And the way the schedule was laid out, it was my night that he was going to be on board. And the cruise director came and told me my night was rescheduled. And I said, when am I? You're going to be the next night. I said, why? And he said, because I want him to see this other act.
Not you.
And I was like, oh, at least you're fair and honest about it. Yeah. Okay, whatever. So they printed the schedule for that day. We got into the port, and the president of the line didn't make it on board that day. In fact, he came the next day.
I got to see you after all.
When he came on board, they didn't have a cabin arranged for him. So he didn't have a cabin. So he was going to sleep in the infirmary. Now, I wasn't married at the time, so we couldn't sleep in the same cabin. So Lori had a cabin and I had a cabin.
Yeah.
Basically, what we did was we threw all the gear in the one cabin and we were in the other cabin.
Yeah.
So I said to the president of the line, I said, I would be very pleased to surrender my cabin to you and I will find a place to sleep for the night and you can have a cabin. Well, that's very generous of you. So he did.
Took it up.
Came and saw my show, loved the show, and he said, can you do anything else besides that 15 minutes? Well, I was at the time doing malls, which were 15-minute shows, 6 and 8 times a day, all different.
Yeah.
And the idea was to draw the people out of the stores, see a show, and go back in and shop. Come out of the stores, see a show, and go back. So I had different costumes, different themes. I had an entire drink act, a bird act. I had like the top trick, zigzag and sub-trunk, you know, sword box.
Furniture.
I had lots of furniture. And so I said, and I had it all with me because I didn't know what I was going to do on the ship. I said, I have enough to do an opening, a full evening show, whatever you want. He says, and tomorrow night do another one. So I did another one, and it was strong. And he said to me on the last day, he said, how many of those do you have? I said, I have 7, but if given time to be on the ship, I could have more. And he said, how long do you want to stay? I said, until you fire me. Yeah. So we stayed on the ship 5 years. We went home one time, and it was only to look at the disaster. While we were gone, our home flooded. The city backed up the sewage system.
It's not fire, it's a flood.
We had flood, fire, and a car run through our living room. So we had flood, fire, and Toyota Camry. But I think it was originally named the Locust, so you have the pestilence.
Okay. What did you do to deserve all that?
I don't know. But all of them happened on a Friday the 13th.
Really?
Yep. Now, I'm a trisodecaphobiac. If you're ever bored, visit my blog and you'll see the entire story of my trisodecaphobia fears. I am. In fact, last January, this time, on January 13th, I was boarding a cruise for a creativity conference that they, Tim Sonnenfeld and those guys put on, right. And Barry Mitchell. And Suzanne, one of the acts coming to IBM, said to me, you see, you're nice and comfortable. It's Friday the 13th and nothing's going wrong. I said, I really wish you hadn't said that. 10 minutes later, an email came through and it was my next door neighbor showing me how the sewage was pumping up into the center of our lawn. One of the main water lines had exploded and was filling the sewage, so the sewage was all coming up. I said, see, told you, shouldn't have told me.
Thanks a lot.
I wasn't even aware it was Friday the 13th. But as soon as I know, that's when it happens. It's entertaining time. So, so delightful.
Well, you've been working on a lot of cruises, and I know that they have a lot of times will have different themes. You know, I was talking to Dan Staple, I think it was, who had said he had worked on a cruise, I think, where they were all naked, you know, or something. You know, I mean, they have different kinds of things, whether it's going to be for, you know, gourmet cooking or wine cruises or whatever. What's been one of the more unusual cruises that you've had?
Out of San Juan, Puerto Rico, we did the Atlantis cruise. It's 2,200 gay men and two lesbians came on board because they need somebody to fix things in case they get broken. That's what they said.
Okay.
I love that line. That was their line. I'm only repeating what they said. It was awesome. But on the second day, they actually asked my wife and I and our daughter to stay below deck. And the way they described it was, have you ever seen the movie Monsters Incorporated? Yeah. I said, yeah. I said, Hannah is Boo. He says, she's okay. Frightening a lot of the men if you could stay below deck. And then I was asked to leave a cruise. Rosie O'Donnell had a cruise on board the ship and actually asked us to depart. And they gave us a week vacation, all expenses paid in San Juan, Puerto Rico.
You mean you and
my
your
wife, my daughter, and the three of us had to leave because we didn't represent the – we were a nuclear family and didn't represent the demographic that they were representing for. And so sometimes you just don't fit the mold. Yeah, and so we were asked to leave, and it was like, I got no problem with that. If you're going to pay for 7 days, me staying in San Juan in a 5-star hotel, and I get my pay from the cruise line, and you're going to pay me to leave the
and
ship?
And I don't have to do a thing.
Sign me up for that, baby. It was a great time.
Paid vacation.
It was. And being on the ships, I've seen some pretty – we did an entire country western one, and it had one of the country western stars was stopped at security because they found a handgun in her purse. And they wouldn't allow her to come on. And she debated with the captain of security, the chief of security, that she needed her handgun. And he said, why? He said, for my fans. And his response was, if you need a handgun, they're not fans.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, the stories I could tell.
Well, tell me one.
I don't know. There's just too many. it's so many. And they're all great. I watched Herbalife came on board. And the president of Herbalife brought on their top 2,500 salespeople.
Wow.
And they
I can only imagine that.
They, all Class A people, you
exactly.
know.
Exactly. It's like, and hey, have I told you about this? This is going to be the greatest thing in your life.
He broke them into two groups, brought 1,250 people into the theater on this one night. And I snuck in to watch some of the seminars. He's a very dynamic speaker.
Sure.
And he said these are the 7 rules of business. And he explained them all. And they were very good. The next night, when he had the same people in there, he said, how many of you know the 7 rules of business? If you do, raise your hand. I'm going to call you on it. If you really believe it, come and stand on the stage. They came up on the stage, a large percentage, and we said, here's what's going to happen. In a minute, I'm going to pick just one of you. Just one of you. And if you list all 7 of them, I'm going to give every person in this room $1,000. If you miss one, nobody gets a dime. How many of you still think you know the top 7 rules? And a lot of people cleared off the stage because no one wants to be the person responsible for everybody losing $1,000.
Right.
Now they're down to about 23 people. And he said, you all think you know all 7 of them in the order I gave them? Yes. He says, if I pick you, and you name them all, $1,000 to every person in this room, and you, I will reimburse you all the expenses it took you to get to this cruise. And he picked this lady, and this grin came on her face, and she listed all 7 of them perfectly.
Yeah.
And he looked down in the eye and said, go get some briefcases. And they came back in with all these briefcases while he talked to her. He said, where are you from? She was like, from Savannah, Georgia. And he said, so what did it cost for you to get here? She said, well, my husband and I bought an RV. and she smiled.
Just to get there.
That's what she did.
Really?
They literally bought an RV. They were beginning a big vacation, and they bought the RV, drove it down to Miami, and got on the ship.
Yeah.
And he said, really? How much did the RV cost? She told him prices and everything. And he said, looks like one suitcase is for you. And standing on the stage, he handed her clump after clump of $10,000 lots to pay off her whole vacation, and then distributed $1,000 to each person as they walked out the door. And I
went, holy cow,
I don't get paid enough doing my job.
So Herbalife really
pays
well.
It really kicked for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
They've had some pretty
They've worked with some interesting people also, I'm sure. You know, having some comedians, like you said, well, like Robin Williams, I guess, like at the Comedy Club, but also just on the cruise ship. You've had a lot of people who have come in.
Yeah.
Somebody exciting that was particularly interesting, perhaps, but not in a good way?
I think it may have caused a guy's heart attack. That was pretty good.
Okay.
Now I can't think of his name. And Kathy Lee. What was the name of the TV show?
You don't mean Good Morning America. I mean Hoda and Kathy Lee?
No. Well, before, the one that she became famous on.
Oh, with Regis Philbin.
Thank you, Regis Philbin. So Regis Philbin came on to our cruise, and I'm Canadian. I don't know nothing about Regis Philbin.
Right,
look,
right.
I had to ask you for the name.
Yeah.
Well, he came on, he was doing an intimate afternoon with Regis Philbin, where he plays the piano and tells stories. And I was the evening gala show.
Yeah.
And I came in the morning and set my props to the sides of the stage. And then, being a courteous performer, I relinquished the stage for him to do his tech. Then when his tech was over, I came back to run through my tech. And then it would be then his turn to do his show. And then he would leave, and it would be my turn to do my show. That's pretty standard in the show business world.
Sure.
So I set my props, left. He ran his tech. I came back to run my tech. And he came out on the stage and said, what are you doing on my stage? To which I responded, I'm sorry, I didn't know it was your stage. I've only lived here for the past 2.5 years on the Norwegian Star. Forgive me, sir. And you are? I'm Regis Philbin. That's very nice.
Yeah.
What do you do, Regis? What do you mean, what do I do? I said, well, you have a piano. I'm going to assume you sing. Now, I'll be honest. I knew he was a television star because I read the bio in the program.
Yeah.
Well, his face went purpley red, and he started, I've never. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, I'm going to run through my tech now. And the technician says, not now. I've said everything. You can't be on my stage. And it's like,
wow.
Well, I'm going to be doing that. And he veins popped in the side of his head while he screamed at me.
Stormed off the stage?
And he stormed off to go talk to the staff captain, who was a dear friend of mine, who told him that it was best to not be on my stage while I was rehearsing.
Then, so he probably didn't return to that cruise.
Well, no, he'd come back 4 or 5 times.
Hmm.
He berated one of the staff because his flight had changed.
Wow.
When the concierge phoned his room, he told her that only one person was allowed to phone the room, and it wasn't her. And so he didn't get a good reputation. And so when I saw him the next time in public, I kind of tweaked it. And then the very next day, they air-vacced him off the ship because he'd had a heart attack. And I was thinking,
Regis
that was,
did.
Yes, I was like, that was me!
Yes. Okay.
It's not a good claim to fame.
No.
But I didn't really care. We've had tons of actors who, you know, don't want to be known, and they were great. I had one gentleman, he was so good. We hung out with him the whole time. At the end, I said, and now we're talking years ago, I said, so what do you do? And he said, I wrote a play called The Mystery of Edwin Drews. And I'm like, I know this one. It's on Broadway. Got like almost every Tony. Every night the audience gets to pick who the killer is. It's like a version of Clue. And he's like, yeah. And I said, but I know your name from somewhere else. He said, oh, I wrote the song, the Pina Colada song, Escape. And I'm like, if you like pina coladas.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, I love that song. My wife and I dated to that. He's like, wow. And it's like,
yeah.
And he kept talking about how his next door neighbor, Christy and Joey. And it was like, Christy goes, yeah, you know, Brinkley. Yeah. And I was like, wow. It was like, you're talking, audience. I didn't mean Christy and Joey, Christy and Billy. And it was like Billy Joel, who was referring to us, you know, by first name. I was like,
yeah.
I had a guy in the back of the audience sitting with sunglasses on at nighttime in this nightclub. And I said, and I need a volunteer. Yes, you, sir, with the sunglasses on, pretending to be famous. Please come up to help me.
It's Jack Nicholson, right? Yeah.
No, it was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Okay.
I bent over to pick something out of the case, and when I turned around, I was looking at a belt buckle.
Yeah.
And immediately,
tall guy, huh?
And this is back with the old Sean that had a lot of caustic little humor on the edge, even on the cruise ship, you know, because it was an adult late night show.
Yeah.
And I looked up and said, wow, do you play basketball?
Oh.
And he said, yes, little man.
Bit, yeah.
He said, yes, little man, do you play miniature golf? It was such a good moment. I had to apologize the next day. I said, you know, as soon as I said basketball, I realized who you were, but I had no way to get out of it. He's like, I was fine with it. He said, now everybody knows I'm on board. And I'm like, you don't think that, you know, walking around at your height with a pair of sunglasses on told everybody who you were?
Being a foot taller than the tallest person on the board, on ship, I'm sure.
Yeah, bending to get through every cabin.
What about some of the locations that you've traveled around the world that have been one of your favorite destinations?
You know, a magazine just recently said, Sean, name your favorite place to go where there's no internet or telephone. And I said, my backyard, because I subscribe to AT&T.
Hearty endorsement right there. They're not one of our advertisers.
I think I'm getting any AT&T commercials in the near future. No. I've been to so many beautiful places, it's impossible to pick. It depends. You know, if I want to go for beaches, I love St. Martin. If I want to go for museums, I love Paris. If I want nightlife, it's, you know, Las Vegas or New York. I loved, for culture and interesting and different, St. Petersburg in Russia. If I want to get no sleep and drink continuously, it's Norway with my Norwegian friends, because it's just the best time. I want to get away from it. Sweden, I have a friend, Stjan, who has a cabin in the middle of nowhere in Sweden, and it's phenomenal, a little wood fireplace, and
very quiet.
It's Crystal Lake, and we take a hand-carved wood boat out on it, and it's just unbelievable. Yeah, there are so many places. And what I love about magic is I have a friend everywhere
in the world, literally.
Everywhere in the world. The IBM has a ring everywhere in the world, and I, as much as I'm struggling to get to the mall, I've got so much planned before the end of the year. I've still got Sofia, Bulgaria. I'm going to Guadalajara, Mexico. I'm going to Moscow in Russia. I'm going to Austria, Vienna in Austria. I'm going to Budapest in Hungary. I'm going to.
Now, are these on cruises or are these?
No, these are all flying and visiting, being the president of the IBM, doing IBM jams, just hanging out, doing conferences and lectures. Mm-hmm. I have a new lecture called Powerful but Justified, PB&J.
Okay.
It's the follow up to bread and butter.
PB&J. Yeah, okay.
There are so many places, it's really hard to say a favorite. I have a funny story of I worked for three different cruise lines in 3 weeks. So I started on Holland America, went to Royal Caribbean, and ended with Disney Cruise Lines. And when I got off in Holland America, it was in Fiji, and they put me up in a beautiful hotel. And I took a picture off the balcony of the palm trees and the water over the Fiji. Oh, it was phenomenal. And I said, life is good as I leave Holland America. When I arrived in Bahamas to join Barbados, pardon me. I said Bahamas, didn't I? Barbados, to join the next cruise. I had a note saying my hotel room had been changed. I was like, oh, I always stay at this. No, now I was in this suite. And I had a bed that was king size that was out on a balcony with chiffon covering netting. And I was like, I've never had this before.
Yeah.
This is gorgeous, all suite. And I took a picture, basically the same as Fiji, and said, life is good here at Royal Caribbean. Now, I've always stayed in the same hotel for Disney.
I think I saw that. Did you post that on Facebook?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
This is where I posted them. And then when I arrived for Disney in St. Martin, I didn't stay in my normal little European hotel. They put me in this all-inclusive, massive suite. And I was like, I think that the people that work for these cruise lines read my Facebook.
They follow you.
They actually follow. And they each up themselves one right after the other. And I was like, I got to do that with
this.
Other ideas. It's very cool. Disney treats me super well. And it's funny, I have an agent that books me for the cruises now. I used to have one, Ron Wilson, but Ron was my friend. He wasn't my agent. I was my own agent. I booked myself for many years. And Ron was – I needed a voice. I needed somebody. And a lot of magicians got together and all selected Ron. And Ron was a great agent, really great, because he listened. He asked questions before he did it, and he was –
You knew what you were getting in for.
He gave me the greatest accolade. He said I was the highest rated, highest paid cruise entertainer he ever worked with, and he said the easiest to work with. And I talked to him hours before he passed away, and he was awesome, and he was looking for the next young up-and-coming to get on a ship, and I recommended a person who did really well, and I was so thrilled. And they were good times. But then when I left working with Ron, when Ron passed away, I booked myself again the way I did before that. And then I got a phone call from a young man who was I basically mentored and love him dearly. He's a great kid, and well, he's not a kid now, he's a man. And he phoned and said, I'm starting my own entertainment agency. I got him onto cruise ships and introduced him to cruise life, and he did very well. Went from Holland America to Disney and never burned a bridge, only made friends, did business only with people he liked, and that way he was only doing business with friends. And he followed my basic business model and would always ask, what would you do in this case? And then he did it, and it worked. And I was surprised sometimes, but he did it. And one day he phoned me and said, I'm going to start an entertainment agency. Would you come just help me out and showcase, be a spot? And it'll add a level of legitimacy because all the cruise lines know, it's like, that's cool. Who are you showcasing? He said, oh, the Evansons and David Williamson. And he's naming all these big, heavy hitters. Yeah, like, you got them all? Yeah, I got them all on my roster. I was like, yes, because you're good. And he's honestly straightforward. He does a great job. And so I went and I did it. Oscar Munoz and Bargatze, we all did it. We had a great time. It was a wonderful blast. And afterwards, it was like it was all going to break up. And I said to the bigger bookers, Cheryl and all these guys, Sue, and I said, why don't we all go for a drink? And my friend Andrew was like, and I'll pay. And I said, then we're all going. And it turned into a networking session. And we basically, they started booking the acts right there on the spot. And, and it was like phenomenal. And then some of the cruise directors who were friends who I invited to come, they were there. And they were like, why aren't you coming back, Sean? Well, I need to have real flexibility. Well, we can get that for you. And next thing I knew, I was represented by the guy I was, well, I want to say student, but student always seems. The man I mentored is now my manager for cruise lines, booking me everywhere, and treats me like gold, does a great job, and he represents so many of these people. And I'm thinking, it really does come around. If you treat people good and you're not a jerk, you can be in this business to the end of time.
Kind of a model for life, right?
Yeah, there. And there will always be people that don't like you, and there'll be people who are your enemy, whatever. Pay no attention to them. Somebody said, don't worry about what other people think about you because they don't think about you often. Isn't that great?
I like that.
I think that's awesome. You probably think about them more not liking you than they ever think about the fact that they don't like
you.
They're already moving on. So just put it underneath the carpet and move right along.
Well, as the international president of the International Brotherhood of Magicians, this is your year to be traveling, and you've already been through how many countries?
Oh, Lord, I don't know how many countries.
I mean, the year's halfway over.
I mean, I did 30 cities in the People's Republic of China. I went to Incheon, South Korea, 17 cities in Japan. I did Manila, Philippines. I've visited rings in Dubuque, in New Ring in Miami, rings across Canada, the United States, in places like Oregon and Washington. I've gone to to list them all, I had to do a president's report, and it was like almost 15 minutes long of the travel that I've been to. And now I've created these things called IBM Jams, which are one-day free, basically magic conventions, where they're jam sessions. They start at noon, go to like 7 in the evening. Mm-hmm. They get three free lectures by prominent IBM performers. So they're professionals, people like Oscar Munoz, Joe Turner, Jeff Williams has agreed to do them, Ken Scott, tons of people, Terry Richardson. Lots of people have offered to participate as lecturers and performers. Mm-hmm. The guys do jam sessions, so you're just hanging out, and then we interrupt you and go, here's a one-hour lecture, now go back to jamming, and then stop you again, here's another hour lecture, here's some free door prizes, can you answer these trivia questions about the IBM, back into another lecture, and then in the end they just have like a parlor-style show. I have one tomorrow in Jacksonville on January 11th. Jacksonville, Florida will be a jam. There was one in Vancouver, Canada with like 84 people attending for free. We've got ones coming up in California, trying to do one towards Atlanta, maybe one in North Carolina. We're going to spread them out. We're going to do them in Hungary, going to do them in Austria, going everywhere with them. Just opportunities. That's why people join the IBM, and we want to make it just about magic. Oh, see where I went there? Just about magic. Jam. Oh, the IBM Jam, just about magic. I'm getting to travel. We've created two new rings. I couldn't go out to Sri Lanka. It was too far. So using Google Hangout, I did a two-hour lecture for free for all the IBM members. Mm-hmm. And then they had a nominal charge for all the non-members so that they actually put money in their coffers for their ring, which is very cool. It's just been a non-stop roller coaster. I haven't slept in the same bed for three nights.
Well, even last night, I remember you were stuck in Chicago.
And
you were talking about friends and the network of magicians all around the world, and you had posted on Facebook, what am I going to do? And people were saying
17 hours sitting in Chicago, and I had four IBM members phone me saying they will come pick me up, and I could sleep in a bed or on a couch. And it was like they were distances, and I really didn't want to discover them. I said, so you know what? I'm just going to stay here. What I'd really like is if someone could chat to me to keep me awake here on the other end. And they took turns from around the world sending messages, chatting in the private chats, PMing back and forth, keeping me awake. And as they went, I got to go to bed. Hopefully somebody else will pick this up. And it was like somebody else going, I'm here. What do you want to talk about? It was like, let's talk about this subject. And
was that just through private messenger on Facebook?
Yeah, they were just PMs back and forth. And then I would post a picture. It was like I saw a lottery machine. So I took a picture and said, hey, I found something to do. Maybe by the time security opens, I'll be a millionaire.
I saw that. I wonder what the heck that was about.
It's just me being bored. Then halfway through the evening, Mike Carbonaro's TV show was on for like 20 minutes on the TV screen, so it was like, and I got something to watch, and then we talked about it. It was like, oh, I love his show. It's really cool, the Carbonaro effect and what he's doing and how he changed magic. Who would ever thought a short little period on the Leno show would turn into his own television? And so it was just people keeping me awake, and as the one shift went to bed, the other shift was getting up.
And so you stayed awake all night long.
I stayed awake
and
all night.
The flight was like 7 in the morning.
It was 7 the next, it was 7:45 the next morning. I got in at 5 o'clock in the afternoon in Chicago after having been delayed 3.5 hours on the Vancouver side, landing in Chicago by a wing and a prayer. Even the pilot said he was very happy with the fact that he got into the snow, and he said, good luck getting out. And I was like, oh, that can't be. And my flight was supposed to leave at 7 o'clock that evening. It was delayed to 9, then to 10, then to 11 to 12 to 1 o'clock, and at 1 o'clock in the morning they announced it's canceled, and now go find your own hotel room.
As bad as that story sounds, I would think that the travel that you've done literally around the world, that you would have had something that's happened a lot worse than that, where you've missed something.
I spent 2.5 days in an airport that was completely snowed in, and there was about 47 people in this regional airport, and when we ran out of quarters for the vending machine and there was still food inside, we then found a way into the vending machine. In the end, there was a small cafeteria built onto it, and we actually put a small child through one of the service slots to get in, and then instructed them how to get to the door to unlock the door from the other side so we could have food, because we were stuck.
As a lark, 2.5 days
just before Christmas in Shearwater, Nova Scotia. My father was with us. I was younger. And I remember my father using the payphone and phoning the pizza place that was about 2 hours away in Dartmouth and saying, so do you have that 30 minutes or less deal? And we could see miles away, because it's a big air base, miles away you could see the truck trying to get there. Like they were really trying to deliver food to us to get there, and they didn't get there. And in the end, we consumed everything that we could find that was in the place to stay until.
And just because of the snow.
Yeah, because
you couldn't
snow
get out
was
and you
buried,
couldn't
get in, couldn't get out. The base was basically closed. And it was, And we got out on Christmas Day and got out on a CF-104, which is like a Hercules transport, and made it to Trenton. And I spent that Christmas with my grandparents.
Changing the subject a little bit over here, that you have developed a lot of your own tricks and things that you have put out for sale, not only in your lecture, but then on the website. And then you bought Palmer Tillman's.
Palmer Magic.
Yeah,
Palmer
Tillman's. Tell me a little bit about that.
Palmer was a good friend through the fact that I was mentored by Jerry Anderson. He was a dear friend, and I loved his magic. And when he passed away, unbelievable. When he passed away, I wanted to be able to continue his name and tell stories about him. And so I decided my lecture, Bread and Butter, I would put in the Omni Deck. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Palmer Tilden to see, they need the Omni Deck made. Can you make them for me? Yes, of course. And I said, can you make it a little different? And my specs were slightly different than what Jerry's were. Mm-hmm. And I said, it makes it so much easier.
It does.
And
yeah,
so,
I love it.
So he made them for me. And then I went out and started selling them. And the next thing you know, I was his main customer. I brought more money through the door to Palmer than all his other products together. And
because he sold the Slidini silks.
Slidini silks, Michael Lamar's magic wax.
Wax, right.
Paul Harris's screwed deck.
So those had to sell a lot.
Michael Lamar's coin clip. Oh, yeah.
I think I bought all of those things. So.
But I've sold probably in my career now 15 or 16,000 Omnidecks. Yeah. I go through probably 3,000 or 4,000 in a year now. between branding them as an Omni deck or the Ultimate Invisible deck for Sean Farquhar.
Because now you can have them engraved.
Yeah, and I have the engraved with whatever you want, your logo, the back of a bicycle deck or Phoenix decks or whatever. I can put whatever your company logo, their company logo, with captions underneath like the clear solution.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, about a $40,000 laser engraver, and
yeah.
I'm done the learning curve, and now I'm making them, and it's fun. So when Palmer got to the age where, and his health wasn't well, and he wanted to sell the company, I asked if I could buy the Omni deck, and I figured out how much it was and what I'd been paying him all those years and what the value would be over like maybe a 10-year amortization that I would pay. And I phoned him up. It was while the San Diego convention was going on. I phoned him right from while I was doing lectures, in between the lecture, and I said, so he said, I'm ready to sell. And I said, I'd like to buy the Omni deck. And he said, I don't want to sell just the Omni deck. He says, because it's my best seller. I said, yeah, but I'm your best customer. That's why it's the best seller.
Yeah.
And I said, he said, yeah, but I don't want to break it up. I'd really like to keep it together. And I said, well, I can't afford the whole company. I've already figured out what I can pay for the Omni deck, and that's about all I can.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I can't. Okay, so about 3 weeks went by, and I just finished the SAM's WOW thing, headed down to Long Beach. I'm sitting in a Denny's, and my phone rang, and he goes, says, just want to let you know I have a buyer for the whole company. I said, oh, good. And he says, and you'll be able to do business with him, but I think he's going to break up and sell a lot of the product off to different people. I said, that's really a shame, considering you really want to keep the company together and your name. And,
right.
And he's like, yeah. And I said, can I ask the price that he's giving you? Would that be okay? And he told me the price, and it was $4,000 less than what I was going to pay him for the Omni deck. And I said, how about this? I buy the company for that much and give you a $4,000 bonus just for selling it to me instead of him. He says, you do that? Said, yes, Palmer, in a heartbeat. In fact, after I did that, and we broke the payment up, so half was in 1 year, half was in another for his taxes to make life better for him. Didn't matter to me. When he passed away, I paid for his funeral and then did a memorial for him at the Magic Castle.
He was a single guy. I don't think he had
single
a family.
Guy. Yeah. He'd been married once to a woman he referred to as Dragon Lady, and they were still close. In fact, the Palmer Magic original logo, which the two rabbits and a little top hat with a heart, was for their wedding.
Hmm.
And he told me when he died, I had to remove that logo from it, but until then I could use it as a gift, which is why we have the new logo, which I think is really cool, styling kind of steampunk rabbit with a kind of cool pocket watchy kind of thing. But I kept the Palmer Magic name because I really wanted to continue, and I've kept the entire product line, even though it's very hard. I make telekinetic timbers, Bob Koch's.
I want to get one of those.
They're just a joy.
I love them.
You know, I never realized what a subculture of people that have those.
Do you singe them? Or
they can come in multiple formats. I give them as just a raw piece of wood. The singeing actually covers up things to when you see the ones that are singed or dirty or put through dirt and are stoned and things like that, they're because they weren't perfect.
I like that though, because it looks like you know it goes with the story.
I've seen guys who put mystic rites down them and everything like that, but the majority of other people who've knocked it off or done similar, because they're not doing it exactly the same, what's inside of the telekinetic timbers I don't think is known to anybody, but I think three people in my workshop are the only people, because Palmer passed away, Bob, who was his builder, passed away. My wife and I are the only two people in the world that know the formula for Michael Lamar's wax. Nobody else knows it.
But Jamie Salinas and I use this in our seance. Jamie has one, and I thought, well, I could get one for myself. You know.
Oh, yeah, the timbers, they're awesome. And I can when the process started, it took me about 24 minutes block to make one of the timbers, and one out of every six failed. And it was just the system and how it was built. And I looked at it and studied it for more than a year while continuing to build them in that system with a lot of fails for the amount that I was putting out. And then I re-engineered and made a dedicated machine specifically for it, for splitting, for routing, for laying, for sealing, for the container that's inside, had it machined in China, had to buy 10,000 of them, which I'll never go through in my entire career. But buying 10,000 was more economical than trying to find a company that would do 1,000 for me. Then finding the stuff that goes in it and putting it all together, I can get them down now. They're about 14 minutes a block, and I have 100% ratio. Now that I say that, I'm going to have like a failure. But
what's the day, the 13th?
Yeah, no, it's coming up. Okay. Tomorrow's the 11th. Two more days, and I'll be homesitting because I don't travel on the 13th. Just decaphobiac. although on February 13th, I'll be flying over – no, March 13th, I'll be flying over Ukrainian airspace.
I think this year there are 7 Friday the 13th.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's 5. But,
5 was
but
it? Okay.
It's far too many.
Yeah, more than most years,
yes.
I think, this year.
My favorite is the flying over Ukrainian airspace.
Not good.
Yeah.
Not good.
And then in the fall, I've just signed. I'm going into Genting Highland Resorts in Malaysia into David Lai's production of Superstars of Magic 4 with Joseph Gabriel and everything. And, of course, I'm flying into Malaysia on the 13th. It'd be delightful. But I'm really looking forward to that. Of all the things, being the president is a very exciting year. Being able to meet so many people and seeing the passion that goes with the magic, doing these jams is really awesome. I'm really, however, looking forward to going to the Superstars of Magic because I'll be there 2.5 months in the same room, in the same bed. Even when I went home for Christmas, now I told you I only slept in a bed for 3 nights at a time. Even when I went home, 3 nights into my stay at home, my wife said, "This is a good time while you're home. Let's go buy that new king-size bed." And so then my fourth night was slept in a brand new bed. Same location, but different bed. Continuing the tradition. Here in Jacksonville, I was going to have 3 full nights, but I spent one of them just laying on a concrete floor, marble floor in Chicago's ORD. And now here only 2 nights in Jacksonville. Head from here to Kissimmee to do the jam. That'll be 2 nights in there. Then I'll be home for 1 night. And then I head to Lake Louise to do a corporate. Over to visit Vancouver Island for Ring 183's banquet. 1 night at home. And then I'm going to fly to join the Disney Fantasy out of St. Martin.
So for a while.
I'll be on that for 6 days. Fly off get off in Miami, spend a night in Miami, and then fly to join another ship, the Disney Wonder, which I'll be on for another 6 days.
And you've been cutting back on ships, too.
I have.
Oh, it's amazing.
I've cut back on a lot of my performance this year to devote more time to the IBM. And because of it, I created some magic. So I put out my Jealous Kings and Sheer Luck, which is just...
I love Sheer Luck. I've been getting a great reaction.
Super great reaction.
Yeah.
I have it in French, German, Spanish, and English. It's coming out in Mandarin and Japanese now.
Yeah.
I may even have a Danish version because I have Dynamite Magic Shop wants to produce one. The Belgian people are eating it up because it's in French, and the German people is like, finally, a magic dealer that gets it. It's, you know, something that's designed not just for the English market. I'm like, I'm trying hard to make people happy. Because my daughter needs to go. My daughter needs to go to college.
I think that's kind of cool. Like on your DVDs, where you have that. What is College Fund?
College Fund Productions.
Productions. Yeah.
I divided my companies. Palmer Magic is.
Why would you want to rip off somebody and copy a DVD when actually that you know this money is going to someone's
going
child?
To his
you know,
child.
It's like, oh, I'm taking money out of his children's mouths.
Miller started a group called Magicians Against Piracy, and he said, "Would you make a short video?" And I said, "Sure." I said, "Hi, I'm Sean Farquhar." Blah blah blah. I said, "Please don't steal from me. You know, the money that's going is going to me. It's a small portion. If you know how much I really got from a $30 DVD, it's $12 is my side. And of that $12 I had to pay to produce the DVD, whatever the trick is inside, pay for the art, pay for the studio, the rental of the cameras. There's very little money." And my daughter leans in and says, "You're stealing from me."
That's the way to do it. Yeah, appeal to the real thing over there.
I saw somebody just yesterday. My Facebook posted that Dean Dill needs care now. We just finished a digital download for Paul Green, which they can still get to the end of the month, where you can pay $1, $3, $5, or $10, and they can learn the Classic Force with me, where I teach my next-door neighbor auto mechanic how to do the Classic Force. And he's good at it by the end of the video.
Yeah.
It's well worth going. So then I was made aware of Dean Dill and the illness and that they have a charity fund set up. And a great way to support Dean is just to go to his website and buy one of his tricks. And so I selected one, Blizzard, which I do
great
in my show and is rock solid.
Yeah.
And, of course, when you Google Blizzard, the full explanation comes up on YouTube by some person that thinks it's clever to put it up. And so I wrote him a private note that said, "I don't know if you know this, but, you know, you're taking the income from a man who is facing, you know, real serious health issues in his life. He's battling cancer, and you're removing his ability to fight a disease that's affecting him, his family, and our whole community just so you can have hits on YouTube. If you remove this, there's still hope for you. But if you don't remove it, well, then there is no hope for you because your little action is a big action."
What was the result?
I'm going to go look right after this and see if it's off or not. It was literally the day before yesterday.
Yeah.
And
a couple of years ago, whenever I was working the castle, I went and had my hair cut there at Dean's. It's just a great Wednesday afternoon, and ran into Pete Byrow and everybody else who's always hanging out there then too, and had a chat, sit down and talk to Dean for quite a while. This year when I went back, he was very quiet. He cut my hair when I talked to the other guys, but Dean really didn't have a lot to say. And he didn't look like that he was in as great of health, so I'm not surprised that it's kind of gone down from there.
It's a serious time, and a time when we can all rally behind people like Paul Green and Dean Dill. This is a good time.
Yep.
Don't do it when people are gone. They can't hear.
That's true.
They can see. Best seats in the house. But, yeah, now is the time to do
it. It was like last year during the combined convention, we were raising money for Joni Spina when she was still alive, and she was needing that help in order to try to get a transplant.
They live in the Chicago area. Tavell Rose is in need of a kidney transplant. He's just a sweetheart. I flew out there at my own expense. It was very cool. People at Magic Inc. found a hotel for me and everything, and they produced an entire event with a gala show and Ice McDonald, myself, Eugene Berger, a ton of guys. We did a full evening show that was well worth every dime, if not 10 times more than what they paid.
Yeah.
It raised thousands of dollars. They had a silent auction, so I donated $250 worth of Magic DVDs and an hour Skype session. Mm-hmm. And a person I met on a cruise ship who used to be into Magic, but got out of Magic, got inspired by Magic while he was on the ship, on the Disney ship. He bought it, fought it up, and bought it, and he's so excited he got it. And then, I got a call. They said, congratulations, you're the winner of one of the silent auctions. I won a private session with Johnny Thompson because anytime I can sit and talk to Johnny, it's a good night. And I figured if I can give money to Bell and I can take Johnny for a big piece of prime rib, then that's a pretty good day for me. It's a win-win-win situation. Johnny gets
around.
Prime rib, Bell gets money for his thing, and I get to have fun.
Well, as the president of the International Brotherhood of Magicians, that this year, of course, is going to be in Jacksonville. It's going to be the convention. You got to be excited about that.
I am so excited, but I'm trying to keep calm and just perform magic. See where I went with that?
Okay.
Keep calm, perform magic. I am
keep
stoked
calm.
Beyond
seems
belief.
Like I saw your T-shirt that said that. Yeah.
That's absolutely correct. There's a few hundred of them out there right now. For the next 9 days, this campaign is running that they can buy them, and they run like $20, and all the funds go to the IBM, which helps them to get more stuff. Ken Scott, I have to say, has done the most remarkable job of gathering talent. I'm not the guy who goes to a convention based on talent because I go to see people, and IBM is like family for me. I go hang out, I make all the acquaintance, and I talk about how much older they all look compared to me each year, which is fun.
Yeah.
Although now I'm starting to feel old and look old. Talent for a lot of people is really important. I said to Ken when he took the job, I said, you got big shoes to fill, because the last talent guy was me. You got big shoes to fill. I said,
you're going to have 15.
That's right. I said, you have to call in every favor you got, and when your favors run out, start calling in all my friends. And I looked at the roster, and it's all my friends.
Yeah.
And they're all good people.
For an example.
Not just magicians. They're good people. They're the people that are going to hang out and party with you. They're going to do card tricks in the hallway.
Share magic, yeah.
Oh, yeah. In the Canadian side, it's like Bill Abbott and Ted Outerbridge. The Outerbridges, they do amazing illusions. People are going to love their theme, and they've got a really cool style
kind of
with clocks and stuff.
Very,
very cool feeling. John Chirac, we've both known each other since we were 17 years of age. You know, he's coming, which is awesome. Tons of great guys. Eric Buss, and we go back forever. He's an IBM stage, winner with his old act, The Magician After the Gig. Eric is producing a show called Shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a whole show produced. He's got a DJ that plays in it. It's himself, John Chirac, and they're bringing in Ivan Pacell. And if you don't know Ivan, Google him. Go find him on Instagram. He just did these JCPenney commercials. He's like a 7-time world champion of magic. When Anthony Gatto needs a juggling partner, this is who he goes to, and you'll find the videos of him, Anthony Gatto, greatest juggler ever walked the face of the earth, would juggle with Ivan Pacell.
Wow.
And Ivan Pacell is an animal, just phenomenal, humorous, unbelievable. He's a headliner on Disney Cruise Line, so we hang out all the time together. I was so happy when he was added to Shenanigans, which is great. We have tons of close-up. Paul Cummins, we've got Suzanne. Michael Dardant, many people might know him as Sean Fakewar.
That's a great view.
Yeah, there is just a bevy of people that...
And Suzanne, you said?
Suzanne, she works at the Magic Castle on everyday basis. It's just...
She's the head winner.
Boris Wilde, my buddy Boris is coming from IBM. That is so good. I see him every year at 4F. Chad Long, That's a funny story. Just recently, Chad was at a trade show, and one of my students came and walked up and said, "I'm sorry, are you Chad Long?" And he said, "Yes." And he said, "Oh, I'm a student of magic, blah, blah, blah." "Oh, where do you study magic?" "With Sean Farquhar." Next thing you know, they're both talking to me on the phone. It was like just bizarre. Shoma, my brother from a different mother's coming all the way from Budapest, Hungary.
That. He's got a great, not only is a FISM winner, but also he's got the great lecture talking about
music.
Music, how to use music
great.
Incorporate.
And
in
now he's moving stuff into the, because, you know, he's a 4F guy, he's showing the close-up stuff. He's got that whole Facebook social deck, which is really cool.
Oh, that's true. That's funny. That's
speaking of family, my cousin's coming. That's Ice McDonald. He'll have just finished his presidency, the national president of the Society of American Magicians. Ice is coming to play. You're going to be there. Dan Garrett, Dave Cox, Oscar Munoz.
Dave Cox is a comedian. He's going to be, I think, one of the MCs or something one evening.
Yeah.
Doing something.
Chris Hart, Thing. And I am super, super excited for two in particular. One is Tom Mullica, that he's back into doing magic.
Yeah, cause it's going to be the last night show.
Tom is one of my heroes. And when I did, in 2000, the close-up competition, you know, close-up was always just my hobby. I was a stage magician all my life, and close-up was just a hobby, and it was a fairly relatively new hobby for me. And I was standing backstage really, you know, disconcerted, a little nervous, and Tom walked back and said, "What are you doing back here with the contestants?" Says, "I'm competing." "In what?" I said, "Close-up." He said, "You do cards?" I was like, kind of goes, "Well, if it's anything like your stage, you're going to win." And just walked away. That was all that was in my head. And I went out, and I won. I love him for that. And the other act that I'm really super stoked is David and Lehman, who you're not going to see anywhere else. He's there. If you saw AGT and that first episode when on America's Got Talent, they picked Howie Mandel, who I used to open for years ago. And boy, have I got stories about Howie. When they did that 100th monthly thing, Chris, wow, that's just magic beyond belief. And then they came back, and every week was solid magic. Very excited that we were able to get them.
They're going to be doing a lot of things with youth then also, because they're going to be starting out on Monday, actually.
They start on Monday because they have the Lance Burton teen seminar. And
with
so
McBride.
You got to be 13, anywhere from 13 to 19 if you register for the IBM convention. You're coming for free. This year it's from McBride School. It's going to be Eugene Berger and Larry House is going to come. And then they have some special guests. I'm lucky enough to be able to participate because if you're an adult, you're not allowed to go at all. So I said I would like to volunteer to participate and do something. That way I can, you know, kind of sneak in some of the sessions. And Oscar Munoz is going to help out, which is cool. But it's
Aubrey Fine and Siegel.
They take it over once it moves out of the Lance Burton and it goes into the actual convention. Aubrey Fine and Mike Siegel from Sorcerer's Safari, they join in and they make sure that it continues with pizza parties and social sessions and hangout areas and perform for each other. And my daughter Hannah, that's her social thing of the year.
And again, that's all included with the price of your
it's
registration.
Free.
That is a pre-convention.
So if you're a teen, you buy the registration for a reduced right to go to the convention, and then we give you a convention before the convention so that you've already got all your social connections. My favorite was Phoenix, Arizona, and it was about 11:30 at night, and I was going up my room to change out of my suit from something or other, and I opened the elevator door, and in the elevator was a small table with a red tablecloth and two teens ready to perform magic. They said, "Hi, welcome to elevator number 3. Would you please select a card?" And I fell apart. But I stayed on the elevator for 2 trips for him to finish the card trick. It was awesome. We were sitting, you know, the teens are the future of magic. They really are. And we're trying so hard. We've added social media with the IBM. We've got the Facebook page. We've got Twitter. We've got a YouTube channel. We're putting on, you know, prominent IBM and past historical, so you can see everything from like Channing Pollock and Cardini to.
You're going
to
be honoring Fantasia.
We sure are. A living legend of magic. And if they haven't, you know, heard of Fantasia, well, they really need to take a moment because he revolutionized magic from Walsh canes to, you know, making the vanishing candle, the vanishing cane, tons of others. He won an invention award just maybe 5 years ago from Linking Ring for an airborne glass where you let go of the bottle instead of the glass. Yeah. It's brilliant. He explains the entire thing in the Linking Ring so that you can build it.
Make your own.
For free.
Yeah,
and he's got tons of stuff with lighters. Ricardo Fantasio is a child at heart. He may be older than me physically, but mentally he's way back there as a kid.
Yeah.
He's every time I see him, he's got a new trick to show me. It's he just ignites magic in you. You want to be better when you see him.
There are a lot of conventions that are coming on this year. Of course, you know, Magic Live and Genie Bash, and as well as FISM, and those are three things that don't happen every year, certainly. And so, you combine that with the other conventions that are happening with the large ones, the TAOM, SAM, et cetera, that people shouldn't just think that the IBM is just another convention, because there are a lot of things that are happening you can't get at the others.
There are things they will never see at the other ones. There's a different connection.
And a different feeling, different vibe.
You know, totally different vibe. If you go to FISM, you're not going to meet any of the stars of FISM.
Right.
They're back there. They insulate themselves.
Contest mode.
Yeah, that's absolutely. You go to the other ones, they have select periods when you can meet the stars. That's so nice. Yeah. No, you come to IBM, the stars are walking around in the hallway. Because the stars are just.
Although there will be an autograph period.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. We guarantee you're going to see the stars. We have a poster party where we give you free posters, and you meet every single one of the actors. They sign your poster and they talk to you. We guarantee it. But it's going to happen anyways.
Yeah,
because
they'll be hanging around.
There is nothing cooler than walking down the hallway and seeing, you know.
Tom Mulica.
Yeah, Tom Mulica sitting there. I remember when we had Jeff Williams and, like, couldn't turn him off. Danny Ortiz coming. And it was like Danny was late getting to his lecture because he was too busy doing magic in the hallway for some other people. And it's like, Danny, you have to stop the trick now because there's 400 people waiting in this room for your first of three sessions, and he's like, okay, I'll be there shortly. I said, no, it's no Spanish second. It's now. Come. He's like, okay, I come. Yeah. Sean, so excited about everything. IBM has a different feel to it. And when you talk contests, FISM will be the best contest of the year. We can't compete against that. But if you're a young act wanting to be recognized, you want to get ahead, and you want to be treated well, IBM is the convention. You don't get treated better at any other magic convention anywhere in the world. And that's coming from the guy who's done every magic convention in the world for a contest. Something about needy and needing self-esteem or something.
Well, you are a magic champion.
I am, with one C. Remember, I couldn't afford two. They pay for the consonant. When we put a person who's been in the contest in charge of the contests, Oscar Munoz and his wife Melody run them.
Who's a Gold Cup winner himself.
Absolutely. And he's been in all the contests, and he knows how to be treated. I've listened to the horror stories, and I've experienced the horror stories of when the contest chairman of another one goes, says, yeah, we're 100% behind you, we're going to do this for you, and then none of that appears. And it's like, deal with what you got, get out there and do it. And close up for 600 people, that's not a close up contest. Yeah, we make you repeat the close up multiple times. But that's an environment you can do it in. And if you don't do well in one room, maybe you're going to rock it in the other three and you'll be just fine, right? My best experiences in contests lay between the PCM and the IBM. They really are. FISM have always been, milestone competitions. But my best experiences, the friends I've made, have come out of the ones I remember. Sitting in a contest with so many of the guys, and we're looking at each other going, we're supposed to be mortal enemies. Why are we all hanging out together and going for a beer afterwards? Yeah. It was like, well, I guess that's what we do because
in the trenches,
absolutely.
Kind of brothers, band of brothers kind of thing. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And Ice and I met in a contest. Greg Fruin and I met in a contest. John Schrock and I met. Eric Buss. Eric Buss kicked my butt in a contest. Hannibal and Steve Bargatze, in Buffalo. Steve Bargatze won first place, and Hannibal got the Obie Award, and I got nothing. And but they're my best friends. Yeah. I love them dearly. Yeah. Hang out with them. It's
and the convention is going to be when? When's the date?
It's July 14th to the 17th in Jacksonville, Florida. Did I say that?
15th through the 18th.
But I'm thinking 15th to the 18th, but I'm thinking about the youth from when I have to come in before I have to disappear.
Saturday the 18th. July.
Go to magician.org. Don't believe the dates or times that I tell you. Really go to magician.org and click on the button. And while you're there looking at the dates to confirm them, hit the register button and then come and play with me. I guarantee before the convention's over, I'll show you a card trick because I'm a magic addict.
If you guys have heard him on this podcast, be sure to walk up to Sean and say, hey, I heard you on the Magic Word.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear that because I love to confirm where people get it from. I love that, the validation to know that this is where it's coming from, so that when we spend these times and talk, you know that people are listening.
You spend a lot of time in giving us a lot of good advice and tremendous stories. You're a man of a million stories. And so let me
just drag some out of you that I haven't said in years.
Well, we're good friends. And a lot of times, friends can open up a little bit easier. So thank you for that time. And I also to conclude, since it's called the Magic Word, what is your magic word? What is something that's important to you? What is your chi, your what's important in your life?
I have a mantra.
Okay.
My mantra is, I'm a small part of a really big show. My dad used to say, there's always room for more, one more on the blanket. His thought was that he was always hiring cast when they needed to be hired, even if he didn't have the money, because it was like a picnic, and there was room for one more person on the blanket. And as he got attitude acts or performers, he would go, hey, just don't forget you're a small part of a really big show.
Yeah.
And I've used that as my mantra all my life for everything I do. In anything I get involved with, I'm a small part of a really big show. And as long as you keep that in mind, nothing can faze you.
Right. Good advice. Sean, thank you very much for your time. Thanks. You've been most gracious, good friend. And so for the magic word, that was Sean Farquhar. This is Scotty out.
Thank you, Sean, for being my guest and for sharing so many great stories. As you can tell, we've only seen the tip of the iceberg by hearing just a few stories from his vast experiences. I guess that wasn't such a good analogy to make since he was talking mostly about cruise ships. But I want to thank you, too, for listening and your continued support. Be sure to continue the conversation on our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheMagicWordPodcast. And so, until next time, stay well, get booked, and I hope it will be smooth sailing for you until we meet again here on The Magic Word.